Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere you can find podcasts. Make sure you leave us a five-star review on iTunes. You can email us with any advertising inquiries or basketball questions at LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. Tweet us at LockedOnBulls. Like us on Facebook at LockedOnBulls. I'm Sean Hyken of The Athletic. I am in the one of the back rooms at the Staples Center after the Bulls lost to the Clippers with my man Law Murray from Clipper Blog. How you doing?
I'm doing great. This is the first time I'm in this room too, so I mean, it's nice.
It's always a little bit of a struggle to find a place at the arena where you can actually record and you're not like bothering the people who are working. So this came through for us.
Yeah, you shout out to the photographers for getting all the photos,
getting
done.
Their work done early,
exactly,
helping us out here. So this was kind of an interesting game, and it was more so an interesting final minute. There was obviously that call with about 20 seconds left that really sealed the game, because Jimmy Butler was guarding Blake Griffin at the top of the key. Blake sort of lost the ball, picked it back up, threw up a shot at that shot clock buzzer, got called for a foul, hit two free throws. The Clippers were up by two at that point. He hits two free throws, puts them up four. That basically puts the game away. On the replay, it looked like that was maybe the call could have gone either way in terms of whether it was a foul or whether it was a clean block or whether Blake even traveled beforehand. The Bulls were pretty fired up about it. Fred Hoiberg got his first ever ejection as a player or a coach. He only got two. Here's the thing. Okay, so in 10 years as a player, he never got a single technical. He got two last year in his first year as a coach. He got ejected for the first time tonight.
I mean, what's he going to get a technical for as a player? I remember Fred Hoiberg as a player, and I would have been I would have been shocked if he did get a technical foul. You know, the thing is, the technicals, all those came after one. Blake had to still make the free throws,
right?
Which, if this was 5 years ago when Blake was a barely 50% free throw shooter, that would be one thing. Just another source of improvement.
And this is right. This is something I was looking up during the game when he was at the line. I think at one point during the first quarter was, you know, because I remember when he first came into the league in his first few years really becoming a star, his one thing was still he was the kind of guy that you could put on the free throw line and he was probably not going to hurt you. He was, like you said, in the high 50s, low 60s for a while.
Right.
But he's just steadily gotten better from the line every year. He's in the high 70s now.
Right. And, I mean, you're not seeing the three-point shooting improvement, but this is only the second time in his career where he attempted at least 10 free throws and made every single one.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the differences down the stretch, the other being that the Bulls shot 4 for 22 in the fourth quarter. That's not really what you want.
No. Dwayne Wade hit 6 threes tonight, which tied a career high for him. And after he made his 6-3, the Bulls had an 85-84 lead. They had already lost what was a 19-point first-half lead.
Yeah, they were up by 19. They were up by 10 at the end of the first quarter. Got it up to 19 at one point in the second. And then it was 6 at halftime, 5 at the end of the third quarter. So they basically just kind of maintained where it was for most of the third quarter and then just melted down.
Well, it was five at halftime. And even that was a shock, because Bulls are up 51-39, 2 minutes left in the first half. And you know what happened after that. Chris Paul stretches a pick and roll out to the left side, hits Blake with a bounce pass. Blake takes one hard dribble, and I don't know what you saw from your perspective, but when Blake went up, and Robin Lopez is kind of peeling off of DeAndre, I'm like, all right, he's probably going to just bang this off the rim, earn some free throws. He only earned one free throw, man.
Maybe that's why. Maybe that's why Fred didn't play Robin in the fourth quarter at all. Maybe Robin just had to retire at that point.
Robin was fortunate he was even allowed to stay in the arena.
That was a Timofey Mozgov level posterization.
And It was shocking, Sean.
It was the kind of thing that, like, I mean, Blake, you know, he's had some injuries over the last few years. He doesn't really do that to people the way he did, you know, the first couple of years of his career. So this was like a vintage. And it kind of makes me feel old that we're already talking about Blake Griffin as vintage Blake versus, you know, current Blake that's not as explosive, because it feels like we shouldn't already be at that point with him. But that was vintage Blake Griffin play right there.
It was. It was the most powerful dunk that I've seen this season. It's a young season. We're not even a full month in yet. But it was, I mean, Robin had to sit on the floor. They didn't even let him sit on the bench, man. Chris Felicio came in the game, and that was the only time we saw Felicio play the whole night.
He's fallen completely out of the rotation, which brings me to another thing I kind of want to talk about, which I thought was interesting, and Fred didn't really give us a great answer after the game about why this happened, but Bobby Portis played most of the fourth quarter instead of Robin Lopez, and he didn't even put Taj back in for Nico until like 4 minutes in or something, and it was just... This is not the first time that he's gone with Portis for long stretches in the fourth quarter, and Portis hasn't really helped them that much. And we asked Fred about it afterwards, and he basically said, Bobby gives us energy and he plays hard, which, okay, that seemed like kind of faint praise for somebody that you're choosing to play in the fourth quarter in crunch time of a close game. I feel like you want to have, especially if you're trying to hold a lead, you want to have Robin Lopez out there. You want to have your best defensive unit out there.
Yeah, and I think that Fred might have misplayed how Doc was going to use Maurice Spates. I mean, Mo Spates doesn't usually get the time that he does in the fourth quarter. I mean, Doc loves to start fourth quarters with the bench. And after last night the Clippers were in Sacramento. They started with an all-bench lineup, except Paul Pierce was in for Brandon Bass. So Pierce played for the first time this season last night. That unit got smashed. 2 minutes in, a 19-point lead turned into an 11-point lead. So I'm thinking...
Well, right, because like, they scored 73 on Sacramento in the first half, and you thought, okay, this game is over. And then Sacramento kind of came back, and that was because the Clippers bench unit was just not...
Yeah. In a short order, more specifically. I mean, it was a 19-point lead last night entering the fourth quarter for the Clippers, and it got down to single digits within about 3 minutes. The opposite happened tonight. The Clippers bench really didn't play well in the first half. That's where that 19-point Bulls lead came from. But fourth quarter, Mo's just hitting buckets because that's who he is, Mo Buckets. And I guess, you know, Robin Lopez wasn't going to be defending the basket much. DeAndre Jordan wasn't in either. So maybe
DeAndre was not good tonight.
Well, DeAndre, I'll tell you what, DeAndre had his nice dunk on the sideline late in the third quarter, but DeAndre gets back in that game earlier if Mo isn't hitting the jump shots that he was hitting. It's just that simple. And I think Fred was like, Doc's going to put DeAndre in eventually. That's the only reason why Robin's sitting. It's like, it didn't happen. DeAndre played 30 seconds in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, I guess if Maurice Spates is hitting shots the way he was, and there were a couple of different times where, you know, so Bobby Portis, Dwayne Wade hits one, the one three-pointer, because most of his threes came in the first half, so he hits the one that he hits in the fourth quarter, Mo Spates comes right back down, gets it right back on, and Bobby Portis hits that three-pointer on that pick-and-pop play from Rondo, Mo Spates comes back down, gets one right back, any chance the Bulls had at maybe, you know, shortening the lead, maybe getting back into the lead, it just that just ended. Maurice Spates killed at least two or three different Bulls rallies during that fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, shoot, you even remember Fred brought all his starters in in the fourth quarter, leaving Portis in. Very next Clippers possession, they go to Spates, and Spates draws the foul. That was Bobby's fourth foul of the game, and that's where the first tie since the
it was like 4-4 or something was the first was the last tie of the game.
Yeah,
or 6-6, or it was something early in the game.
So it just seemed like Fred had a bad night, and honestly, the Clippers needed two things to happen to pull this or to complete a comeback. They needed the bench to play well. They needed Blake to have an impact in the fourth quarter, which he had come into this game making only 2 of 14 baskets in fourth quarters this season. Some of that's like, well, so what? They've been blowing everybody up by 30 points. They needed Blake to be better, and he was.
He was. I mean, especially on that last play where he, you know, drew that foul on Jimmy Butler, got the free throws. Yeah. But, I mean, back to the Maurice Spates thing, that's just the difference to me between this year's Clippers team and the last couple of years, where the last couple of years it's like, okay, they've got some great, you know, all their starters are obviously great, but then, you know, they had basically no bench. The last few years you had like Hedo Turkoglu and Steven Jackson and whoever playing heavy minutes.
Steven
Jackson era. Remember that?
Danny Granger was coming in.
Just like a parade of just like washed up guys who were good against Doc Celtics teams in the Eastern Conference this year. Like,
I hear that's the narrative.
No, I mean that's what it was the last few years. Like, they were bringing in guys like.
Well, look,
Big Baby.
The guy who was Maurice Space at this time last year was Josh Smith, who. Yes, Josh Smith is responsible for Game 6 in this building, Staples Center.
And against the Rockets, that one. Or no, that was...
It was Rockets-Clippers, second round of the 2015 semifinals in the West. Josh was a free agent, signs with the Clippers, lasted half the season.
Then he gets traded back to the Rockets. But right. my point being, this year, if you look at their bench, they've got actual guys that can play. Like, you've got Maurice Spates, you've got Raven Felton, who's having the best year he's had in... I don't know how many years at this point. Probably before, like back when he was in Denver, he probably was the last time he had a year this good. Or like the first time he was with the Knicks before the Carmelo trade.
Yeah,
that was the last time Raymond Felton, I think, was as effective as he is right now. You know, you've got Brandon Bass, who's solid. Austin Rivers has gotten a lot better. He's not a punchline anymore just because his dad's the coach or whatever.
That's really nice of you to say that.
No, I know. He legitimately has gotten a lot better. Jamal Crawford can still, you know, give you a scoring punch off the bench. They're a much deeper team now than they were.
Well, there's depth, and it's really interesting that you bring that up, Sean, just because of what Doc said before the game. I found it interesting that when he was asked what kind of bench were you looking to put together, and Doc said that he wanted guys who were, quote, over themselves.
Right.
Asked to enunciate, well, guys who've been tested, guys who will understand if you don't play, you don't play. If you play, you got to be ready. And the guys who don't play are vets at this point. Rookies, but Doc never plays rookies. He hasn't played a rookie since Al Jefferson, Delonte West, and Tony Allen, okay? But, I mean, and it doesn't matter. Bryce Johnson is hurt, and
Diamond Stones in the D-League.
Killing it down up in Santa Cruz. But the other guys who don't play, Paul Pierce, who we mentioned, Alan Anderson, who is, you know, a respectable vet, a guy who people on this Clippers team, they always refer to him as being a really solid locker room presence, and Brandon Bass. Brandon didn't play a whole lot tonight either. You know, and at the same time, guys are coming in, and the bench has gelled quicker than last year's did. And last year's bench was an improvement over the bench from the year before, the one that you were talking about, and even
Brandon Bass. I mean, not my Brandon, even Maurice Spates, a guy who, you know, comes in on a minimum deal. I thought he was going to get a lot more coming off just, you know, the success of the Warriors had, but like, he's won a championship already. He doesn't have to prove anything to anybody. He was a big part of that Warriors team that won the title, and also a big part of the bench of the 73-win team that blew a 3-1 lead in the finals.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to come in. He's still gonna get paid at some point, so he doesn't have to come in and say, "Oh, I have to, you know, play 30 minutes a night and take this many shots." He's willing to just kind of be used situationally when he is. And yeah, Paul Pierce is a Hall of Famer. Paul Pierce knew when he decided to come back, because he delayed his decision until basically the start of training camp, that he was going to come back and play one more year instead of retire. He knew he wasn't going to be playing a lot of minutes, but, you know, he comes in, he stays ready, he's a pro.
Right, and that was not the situation for Paul this time last year. The situation for Paul was he had been a contributing starter for a Washington Wizards team that was in the playoffs, won a playoff series. Okay. And he's coming over here. There's an obvious hole at small forward. The Clippers had traded Matt Barnes. And you're thinking, all right, Paul's going to fit in somewhere. And Paul actually led the team in starts at power forward. We all know why. Blake had the quadricep injury. He had the broken hand due to the off-court incident.
Right.
So, yeah, he was a nominal starter, but he struggled with the role. And this year, guys know their role, and that goes for the guys who aren't playing, as well as the bench players who are in the rotation, as well as all the starters. The starting lineup was not set this time last year for the Clippers. They had Lance Stephenson starting at small forward this time last year. Now, with Luke playing the way he is, Luke, his minutes were basically tied to Jimmy Butler's tonight. Jimmy got off to a halfway decent start, but he, I think, missed 10 of his last 13 shots tonight. The Clippers did a nice job mixing things up, giving him different looks. And again, when those Wade threes dried up, I think that's the Bulls offense got a little out of sorts.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. I mean, as much as like it's sort of a novelty that, oh, this is funny, Dwayne Wade is hitting threes now, this is obviously not the first time this season that that's happened. You know, what that does is, like, it seems, you know, maybe he can hit those shots now. And, you know, I think there's data now to show that, you know, he's had a sustained stretch of hitting those shots. But, it's like,
right.
within a single game, like, can you count on him being able to keep hitting those shots if he gets off to a hot start? If he's going to keep shooting those shots, is he going to keep hitting them? As opposed to, you know, some other looks that maybe they could have gotten.
Yeah. And when you look at, we were discussing the last 6.5 minutes, missing 80 of the last 9 shots for the Bulls, like, as a team. The only shot they made was a coming out of timeout. Isaiah Cannon hits a 3 off a curl. That's it. They had to create that
right,
look.
Right, that cut the lead down to 2 points. You're thinking, right. Okay, maybe they can actually come back. They just need to get a stop and then come back down the other end.
Right. And, you know, going back to what obviously everyone's going to look at the last 2 minute report as it relates to the Griffin foul. Besides the fact that Griffin made the free throws, the play was created. You don't want Jimmy Butler on Blake to begin with. And those mismatches, the Clippers plan to get guys just out of position defensively. And the setup was good. The execution was shaky. That's what everyone's going to focus on. But it was a great setup by the Clippers. Griffin made the free throws. And the Bulls just got burned for not closing a game that they should have won. They had the night off, and the Clippers played poorly to close out a game last night. And the last time the Clippers were at Staples Center, they didn't come out ready against the Memphis Grizzlies, a team that they'd beaten on the road just 2 weeks earlier. It's been an interesting week for both teams, the Bulls and the Clippers. So... it's a shame we don't see them again until March.
That's right, and this was something that Dwayne Wade said. He basically said, like, look, we'll take this performance any day. Like, if you're coming in on the road against a good team, or I guess arguably the best team in the league so far this season, which, by the way, I want to ask you more generally. You've obviously watched this Clippers team a lot more than I have. Do you, like, how much of a threat do you think they are to the Warriors? Because so far they've been the best team in the league, but there's still, to me, there's this sense of, like, okay, I mean, the Warriors are just kind of coasting right now. They'll, once it gets to the playoffs, like, it's still them.
The matchup everyone's going to focus on is the Clippers defense and the Warriors offense. And the way the Clippers defend, I mean, they recently lost their top ranking to Atlanta after, again, not having a sense of urgency defensively last night in Sacramento. But that's number one or number two versus the number one offense. I got to look at it from the other perspective. The Clippers' offense has been lights out. The Bulls did a decent job to start this game, but they couldn't contain it. And
it turns out Isaiah Cannon can't guard Chris Paul for long stretches. I don't know who would have thought that.
But. Yeah. I don't understand why Jaren Grant didn't get more time. Again, Fred, get
that
better.
This was not Fred's best game in terms of rotations.
Right. And going back to the Warriors, they swept the Clippers last night, or last year, for the first time in 30 years, I want to say. And that means more to me than how the two teams are perceived to be playing right now. The Warriors are the defending Western Conference champs. I know everyone wants to talk about the 3-1 lead that they blew, but they also came back from a 3-1 lead in their own conference last year. So,
and their offense has just looked unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, they had that awful first game against the Spurs on opening night, but since then, it's, you know, the offense, I mean, the defense is maybe not where it needs to be, but I don't know how much of that is, you know, figuring stuff out versus coasting, but their offense, just with Kevin Durant and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson all out there, it's just as unguardable as you would have thought it was going to be early in the season.
Right. And that's a problem that, at least for the preseason, the Warriors lit the Clippers up. The regular season meeting is going to be very interesting. This Clippers team...
What's the first one? December 7th.
December 7th. The Clippers don't get a break of more than one day until 2 days before that game. The Clippers are going to be dead tired when that break comes. But when that break comes, it's like, all right, got to take advantage of it because you got 2 days to prepare for that Warriors game, and then they get 2 days off right after it. That's the only game that they will play in a 5-day stretch. It's very interesting. But there's no rest for the weary. They're going to play.
It's a weird schedule. There's a lot of weird scheduling stuff, and I think, yeah, you know,
they played the most games since October 30th.
Right. Hopefully they can. I mean, we're starting to see some stuff. I think there was a piece on The Ringer last week that they're going to cut down the preseason. I don't know too how many games, but they're going to cut down the preseason so they can start the regular season earlier so that there aren't as many back-to-backs, which I think will be good if they can get rid of some of this weird scheduling stuff. But yeah, the Clippers have had it pretty tough, which, you know, getting back to tonight's game, that's a reason. Maybe the Bulls should have been able to pull this out because, you know, the Clippers have had a tough schedule. I know the Bulls are on this six-game road trip, but, you know, they had a day off. The Clippers didn't have a day off. The Clippers have had a lot of games. The Bulls have only had a couple of back-to-backs so far. They haven't really had a very heavy schedule. They've had a lot of home games early on. This is a game that they probably should have pulled out, and I frankly think they're probably going to lose to the Lakers tomorrow just because they're going to be on a back-to-back. Dwayne Wade played 35 minutes tonight, and he had to carry so much for them offensively tonight. They didn't really get a lot out of their bench. This Lakers team is going to get out and run on you, and the Bulls are kind of an old team, at least in the starting unit, so they're either going to have to get more from their bench or else their starters are going to have trouble keeping up with some of these young guys in the Lakers. What do you think about that matchup?
Well, the matchup that I would be looking for is to see if Robin Lopez actually stays on the floor. I think Robin Lopez, Taj Gibson actually hitting the offensive glass is a huge advantage for them. And what Julius Randle is doing this year as a ball handler and as a guy who also, you know, his number one skill coming into the league was rebounding. They're going to need Taj to be great, and they're going to and Taj is going to need Robin. It's really that simple. I think you have to really attack those guys inside, and you have to earn those extra possessions. The Bulls do such a great job, but they did a decent job of that most of tonight.
And that's an advantage they've had over a lot of teams most of the year. It's just that offensive rebounding advantage.
Exactly. So they're going to have to. They're going to have to maintain that, and Jimmy's obviously going to have to bounce back. I think Jimmy could have played more tonight. It's refreshing to see that he didn't get Thibodeau'd. but it's really that simple. The Bulls are going to have to win the rebound advantage against the Lakers. The Lakers, they're going to run and they're going to shoot. And if let's just put it this way, if the Lakers shoot as many shots as the Bulls do, I'm talking just straight field goal attempts, the Lakers will win tomorrow.
I think you're probably right about that. So tell my listeners on Locked On Bulls where they can find you on Twitter, where they can find your work.
Yeah, so I'm running Clipper Blog right now. So clipperblog.com, ESPN Troop affiliate. You can hit that up. And then my Twitter is LawMurrayTheNew, LawMurrayTheNew. It looks better in print than it does.
It's definitely not as hard to remember as it seems like, but... So yeah, follow Law, check out his work. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at Hyken. You can follow my co-host of Locked On Bulls at Cody Westerlund on Twitter. Follow the show at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, Locked On Bulls. Email us, lockedonbulls@gmail.com. If you have any advertising inquiries you want to advertise with us, give us some money, or basketball questions you want us to answer on the show. We'll do our best to do that. And of course, subscribe, leave us a 5-star review, iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play. Law, thanks for doing this, man.
Hey, I'm most impressed by the fact that you keep every one of your outlets on site. Like, you got no cheat sheet or anything.
Maybe this is off the top.
Exactly.
This is off the top. I do everything off the top.
Hey, I think that's
impressive. You should see us when we do the SeatGeek live read. We have some sponsors for some shows, but like we're not as good as JJ Redick, but I probably should have asked him for some advice on the live reads while we were here, because he is the best at that. He'll have somebody on his podcast where he'll be like, Spencer Hawes, you and I are both NBA players who make millions of dollars, so we can buy suits, but let me tell my listeners about Indochino, and it's great. Like, I need to take some lessons from him.
Yeah, the way JJ does his thing is as efficient as how he's been playing the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, he's been terrific. So thanks for doing this, man.
Hey, for sure.
Rush into Old Navy today for up to 50% off store-wide. Get dresses from $15 for women, $12 for girls, plus up to 75% off clearance for the whole family right now at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid 10/16 to 10/20, select styles only.